Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
B. Mitchell Finley is presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline and joining us would be my boy Kedrick Ghostin. Every time we're going to get into a smart football conversation, I reach out to Kedrick. Kedrick knows a lot about the sport. And this year, the defense, I think, is going to be vital for the success of this team. And I want to get Ken's opinions about several things that are happening now. What's up, Ken? How you doing, man?
B. Mitch, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing good, brother. I saw you the other night, and I was like, yep, I want to have a defensive conversation. Let me get Ken on. So when this defense, we saw the people that they've lost and the people they signed. Will they have enough depth on the defensive line?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, the production that you got from Settle and Ioannidis, I mean, those guys would, you know, probably start defensive tackles and half the league. They were really productive and successful players. And so to lose them is kind of hard to say. I do like the second-round pick out of Alabama. I liked him when he was young. I remember watching him play LSU as a freshman. So I think, you know, with him coming in, hopefully he can kind of hit the ground running and bring some of that production. But I think really the success of this defense is really going to come down to, you know, how well does Chase come back from the ACL, Sweat, you know, getting back in healthy, not having to worry about all the COVID issues, and really just the communication on the back end. You saw early on last year, a lot of guys running free, whether that's just a busted coverage or a miscommunication. You cannot let those chunk plays happen in the NFL. Offenses are too good. The league is designed for the offense to score points. So when you're not on the same page from a communication standpoint, it's hard to stop anybody. So hopefully Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, you know, was able to, obviously they did a self-scout, but really be able to go in there and identify the weaknesses and understand what the personality of this team is and how they'll be able to go out there and be successful.
You know, we look at that a lot of times where people, they see a team 1 year and then they automatically assume they're going to be exactly that next year. But, you know, teams don't ever remain the same from 1 year to the next. And the first year Chase came, that defense played great. Last year, the defense did not play great. It wasn't just about Chase Young. I saw Chase and Montez doing the exact same thing. They were going up and under, up and under. They were going up and just around, both of them consistently. Then at the same time during the season, they start going up and under, which to me means they're being taught that, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Sean Springs about this, and, you know, there's one thing, you know, we could talk to her blue in the face about individuals and winning one-on-one matchups, and that's a huge part of NFL football. Mm-hmm. You have to, the good ones win the one-on-ones, the great ones win the double teams. But as far as pass rush is concerned, you know, let's just say there's 70 plays, offensive plays in a game, and 45 of those are pass plays. Mm-hmm. You know, and if a team gets five or six sacks, I think as a fan base, as everybody, we say, oh, man, that was a great day by them. But what about the other 39 times? How mm-hmm. are they impacting the passing game? And so you have to be coordinated as a unit. You know, if I beat my guy up the middle, but the defensive end, you know, does it up and under at 3 yards, quarterbacks are mobile. They're able to step up and, you know, find the opening and throw the football. And so you have to understand that even with getting after the quarterback and rushing, there's still a responsibility. The rules, I can remember in 2012, every quarterback's a little bit different. Nobody would mistake Eli Manning for a mobile guy, mm-hmm. but Eli liked to step up a certain way in the pocket. He liked to step up, I believe, on his left side behind the guard. That was his safe space. And once we identified that, and whoever was responsible, we used to call it dots. You know, there was four dots on the quarterback. You know what I mean? Outside shoulders and breastplates. Whoever was responsible for that dot on that particular play needed to make sure that they were where they needed to be, because that was Eli's comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Now, whether we sacked them or not, we still impacted the passing game because we made the quarterback unsettled. And so I think it's just understanding that, maturing, and understanding that getting a sack is ultimately the goal. And don't get it twisted. You get paid in the NFL for sacks, but you have to figure out how to be a cohesive unit down in, play in and play out, in order for those sacks to come. And so when you can get the quarterback to pat the ball or go to his second or third read, that's when those sacks are going to come.
And you look at it, like, you're right. You know, everybody has to handle their job and be in their position. When you look at this defense with Jonathan and Deron in the middle, Sweat and Chase outside, what needs to happen for them to get back to the success level that they had 2 years ago instead of just last year, where Jonathan had a great year, everybody else didn't?
I think it's just, I mean, you know, one thing you don't have in this business is time. But all those guys are pedigree. You know, I mean, they're first-round draft picks. We've been talking about them since they were drafted. But these are guys that have flashed. They say, oh, man, if we can get them to play more like that, they can be a dominant group. And they've done a lot of good things. I just think, like I said, I can remember three times off the top of my head with pain just beating the center clean.
Yeah.
But the quarterback was able to step up to the left or to the right. And so once they can understand that they're stronger together than they are as individuals – the better that will be. And I think that just comes with maturity and understanding how the professional game is played, because, like you said, the days of quarterbacks just standing in the pocket taking that beating are over. And so hopefully they can come back and really reassess the situation. Early on, I think Coach Rivera spoke about this last year, is that they were pressing, trying to make the big play happen. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? You got to go out there, and when you make the ordinary look extraordinary, then those big plays will end up coming up, but it's all in the context of your responsibilities and your what you're supposed to do for the team.
We're talking to Kedrick Golson, former defensive tackle for Washington, the Commanders at this point now. You can follow Ked on Twitter at Golson, GOLSTON 64. We're talking to him on the BetQL guest line. And Ked, you know, there's a lot of talk right now about moving Cole Holcomb from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. I understand that there's a difference in it, and I guess that as a defensive player, you may know a little bit more. What are some of those little things that you see that outside linebackers do, and may be very good at it, but they move inside, they can't do those things anymore, that may affect this transition?
You know, I think, you know, I like to equate the middle linebacker's a hard job because, one, you're the quarterback of the defense. And so I've played with a ton of talented linebackers, but in the heat of the moment, wasn't able to communicate the call and make the checks that were necessary in order for the defense to operate. So First things first, you need to have a guy that knows everybody's responsibilities, knows the checks, because he's feeding information to the players as they go. That being said, you also have to be the anchor at the second level of that defense. You know what I mean? You can really get gashed in the run game as a middle linebacker if you run around blocks. You know what I mean? Whereas right. on the outside, you're only really defending one side of the field. You always have the boundary to you, so you're able to kind of play more in space. Not to say that Cole can't do it, but it is a difference in positions, because sometimes you have to go put your face and button press either that guard or that offensive lineman that's coming up to you to be able to solidify the defense, because everything's built off of that. The nose guard sets it, and you know, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that being said, I mean, it's a more physical position, even with it being a passing league.
And see, that's the thing where when I look at it and I watch Cole play, and I think Cole, just like Jamin, who got a little better as the year went on, I think both of those guys have exceptional speed, that being on the outside allows them to get to spots that ordinarily slow guys can't get to. But I see the running around blocks sometimes, and I know – when I play running back and I'm coming down the hill and I see a linebacker want to run around the block, oh, that was an easy cut.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, early on, I mean, there's really no gaping holes in the National Football League. But I can remember as a young player, running backs are looking for turned shoulders.
There you go.
If a guy has his shoulders turned in the hole, then that quarter, then that running back is going to put his foot in the dirt and get vertical, knowing that he's not going to be able to arm tackle me running the opposite direction, because he's going to have to then stop, open up his hips, square up to me. So, and that's really what it is, and that's all about understanding professional football. You know, these guys are all great athletes, and in college you can get away with running around blocks because the timing isn't right, the speed of the game isn't there. But push comes to shove in the NFL, you're going to have to be able to go downhill and attack blocks, because what that does is it allows your teammates to know what you're doing so how they can attack it. But even to that, it squeezes the air out of the hole so the running back doesn't see that much space. But if I can take an offensive lineman or a fullback or whoever it is, use his body to restrict the hole, now I'm dictating to the running back where he can go. And so that's really what the difference is, in addition to all the communication. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the issue with the modern middle linebacker, because in addition to being able to have to run downhill and attack 310-pound offensive linemen, you have to be able to run the seam with tight ends and slots and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough position, but hey, they all are, and it's professional football. And, you know, they're there with Cole day in and day out. I would like to see them move Jarman, you know, back to his natural position so his athleticism can show on the field and he'll gain confidence, mm-hmm. and then you'll be able to use him in different spots.
Yeah, you follow this team as much as I do and anybody else out there. What are you expecting from them this year? You know, based off of the offseason moves, the draft picks and all, what are you expecting from this team that you can, you know, you sit there, you look, just like every fan, we look at every game, we go through the schedule, we go, okay, we think there'll be this and that. What are you expecting from them?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, I think, you know, the first thing you look at when you look at a schedule, especially from my vantage point now, is what quarterbacks are they playing? You know what I mean? And so last year they had the gauntlet of quarterbacks, and this year that they don't nearly have the same number, the same challenges, you know. But, you know, that being said, you know, the thing that I like this year that was happening last year is that last year all we were talking about was how great they were going to be. You know what I mean? And that's all you heard out of the park was, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to break this sack record. We're going to be a top five defense. And all that stuff is great, but you have to go out there and do it. And in my experience as a player, as a coach, in anything, you don't need to tell anybody what you're doing. You just got to go out there and put the work in to go out there and do it. And then they'll tell you what you're doing, and you'll realize that. I can remember, you know, playing on top five, top 10 defenses, and you don't even realize you're playing great defense because you're worried about the play you didn't make, not the play you did
make.
So I like it being quiet. I like the addition of Dotson. I see a guy that, you know, will bring a lot of versatility and maturity as a young player to that position. And, you know, just take some of the stress off of McLaurin. You know what I mean? I think McLaurin, with the addition of Carson and being able to throw that deep ball and take some of the pressure off for him, you know, I like where they're headed. But, you know, only time will tell, because those that were good last year might not be good this year, and you never know how injuries are going to really play out. And so you can't really worry about that. I like that I don't hear a lot of noise coming out of there, and that they're just going to go out there and you know, play football.
Kid, I'm going to put some smiles on your face now, because I'm actually about something I know you truly, truly love. And your alma mater won the championship this year. I'm sure that made you happy. And then when you came to the draft, it's like it was a Georgia Bulldogs draft, because there was a lot of your Bulldogs getting drafted. How proud are you of your football team winning? And give us a little take on some of these guys that left the Bulldogs to go to the NFL and what they're going to do.
You know, obviously, everybody knows Davis. You know, Davis is a physical freak. But other than that, you know, he's a guy that loves football. You know what I mean? He's a guy that's going to be the first one in, last one out, a guy that stayed an extra year to win a championship. You know what I mean? So winning's important to him. And when the winning's important to you, you're able, you know, it's just one more motivation out of the many that you have when you're playing professional sports. N'Kobe Dean, I mean, it speaks for itself. I'm surprised he failed the way that he did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about a guy that was a chemical engineer major at Georgia, a guy that just,
damn,
you know, commanded excellence, even in the national championship game from other big time players. And so it's just exciting for the whole state. You know what I mean? Me, Coach Smart was a running backs coach there my senior year. And just to see, you know, everybody else in the SEC have that success that they had, and Georgia always kind of coming up short. You know, it just meant a lot to that state, that fan base, and you know, everybody into it. And where I didn't play a down or sit in a meeting with them, you know, I was so proud knowing that I had a part of that, because I'm a part of that, you know, that Bulldog tradition. But, you know, it's going to be exciting, and, you know, it's only getting better with Coach Saban and Jimbo going after it. So we'll see where the chips fall, and I got Deion in there talking about it. So what better place to be? I can't wait for college football season.
Look, you are all – I was – everybody wants to see SEC football. And then when that happened yesterday, JP and I were both saying the exact same thing. I cannot wait for Alabama and Texas A&M to go at it.
Yeah, I mean, you talking about, you know, ever since, you know, Johnny Football went in there and beat Alabama, that was an instant rivalry. And so to understand the passions that those fan bases and players, and as a young man, the bulletin board material that's happened in May, you know, it's going to be must-watch TV. I can already tell you, what is it, CBS, what they have, the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 3:30 on a Saturday afternoon. And so, you know, like T.O. said, get your popcorn ready, because I don't know who's going to win, but I know it's going to be a lot of hitting and, you know, fun to watch.
And listening to Deion replies was that Coach Saban wasn't talking to Jimbo or him. He was talking to his boosters to say, you see what they're doing down there in Texas? I need y'all to start giving some money to these guys, too.
No, absolutely. You know what I mean? I mean, I have a lot of respect for what Coach Saban has done. I was shocked that he actually attacked a fellow coach, somebody that's worked on his staff with him. But at the end of the day, that was just a sales pitch to the alumni of University of Alabama to say, hey, the landscape has changed. You know what I mean? We have to be able to facilitate these NIL deals, whether you agree with them or not, or we're not going to get the players that we used to get, because, you know, I used to be able to provide an NFL-type atmosphere and say, hey, you're going to compete for a national championship. You're going to, you know, practice against the best players in the country day in and day out. And that's true, because I will tell you, I saw Georgia play Texas A&M a few years back, and A&M's roster is as pretty as anybody you've seen.
There you
know
go.
What I mean? When you just – from the eye test, that being said, and obviously, you know, Coach Jimbo Fisher is doing a good job down there, and they're kind of, you know, chipping away at it. So, you know, it's just interesting. I can't – you know, I don't know where it's going to end. You know, it's kind of the Wild West as far as NILs, mm-hmm. NILs go right now. But it's going to be fun that now when the coaches always tell you not to provide any bulletin board material, they are
– he just did it.
Themselves.
Well, I say this. Alabama got a 10-year, $600 million project going on right now. It's $288 million athletic facility that they put money into their stadium. So those players are bringing a lot of money to that school. They should be able to get a little bit of it.
Oh, no doubt about it. But see, B-Miss, that's what you talked about. See, the NIL allows them to go out and shop their likeness and their image to other people that might want to be a part of that. The universities are still off the hook. See, I want to push the ball to whether or not the universities are actually paying these players because of all the money that they're generating for the state, the university, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So there's more to be had.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. But, Kev, man, we appreciate you, bro. Thanks for joining us, man.
Have a great day, B-Mitch.
All right, Kedrick Golson joining us here on the B-Mitch and Finley Show and joins us on the BetQL guest line. But, hey, I'm Brian Mitchell here, and for my friends over at Paul Henry's Window Installation. Spring is finally here, and the warm weather is officially back, and so is another amazing offer from Paul Henry's Window Installation. For the month of May, get $85 off each window with a 5-window minimum and 10% off doors. Don't wait. Reach out to Paul right now at 540-359-6842 to receive these May special offers. And tell him that I sent you. PaulHenrysWindows.com. Your clear home improvement choice.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Spend over here.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.